Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And of course, we thank you for Father God. Lord, take these few minutes and just speak to our hearts. Let us receive from you today. Lord, let the things of the week, the concerns, the problems, situations, let them fall off. And let us just hear your voice today. Lord, if we anticipate something later today, let our anticipation be later. Let us just hear your voice today. This morning. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for placing us in this wonderful country. That was your choice, and Lord, we thank you for that. Use me as your vessel, Lord, and pour out by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. A certain family was driving down the highway one day when they saw a sign with the words, Jesus saves. A little girl in the back seat asked, is that a savings bank? A 14-year-old boy was given a copy of the Gospel of John. What's this? He asked. When he was told it was part of the Bible, he responded, what's a Bible? A child attending VBS, Vacation Bible School, went home and declared to her mother that her teacher was swearing in class. At least that's what she thought it was, because the teacher kept using the name of Jesus. A woman was invited to attend a neighborhood Bible class, but declined, saying, no thanks, I'm a Democrat. A young boy, after hearing the creation story, corrected the teacher, saying that Adam was God and he and Eve created the world. There are many, so many in our nation and throughout the world who have no concept of the true God, the living God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But saints, I have a dream. I have a dream that those who do not know God will one day believe. Because we, the born-again saints of God, will declare our beliefs verbally and show it through our godly lifestyles. I have a dream that the people of God will tear down the non-essential walls that separate them in order to show a united front to the world. I have a dream that Christians everywhere will truly love each other and thereby demonstrate that they are really the children of God. I have a dream that one day in our great nation, the boys and girls will be allowed to pray in our schools again. Amen. I have a dream that one day America will cease killing unborn children. I have a dream that revival will spread across this land, reaching into every city and town. I have a dream that the hall of Congress will ring with the sound of singing praises to God and the quiet sounds of prayer. I have a dream that the family unit will be restored to its proper place in society as the very foundation of our nation. I have a dream that child pornography will be replaced with child protection and care. I have a dream that the church will once again become the centerpiece of the community where people will look for comfort, inspiration, and moral leadership. I have a dream that the churches of America will be packed every worship service and that a hunger for God's word will arise across the land. And folks, I have a dream that one day America will return to the faith of our founding fathers. Amen. Amen. With all of America's imperfections and contradictions, July 4th, or Independence Day, still represents the one thing that all people can easily celebrate, and that is our freedom. They can celebrate our freedom on July 4th. No doubt, freedom is one of the greatest blessings ever bestowed upon our country. We have political and personal freedoms, which were fought for and which we continually fight for. It's outlined in the first couple of sentences of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. From this, the Bill of Rights was established, and there are three constitutional amendments that speak directly to these freedoms. The First Amendment, which is the freedom of religion, speech, the press, to be able to assemble peacefully and petition the government over grievances. The Second Amendment, which is the freedom to keep and bear arms. And the Fourth Amendment, which is the freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures. The Declaration of Independence is written in a language of feelings, emotions, and the thoughts of those who faced a critical time in our nation's history. It expressed the frustration that these folks were feeling after being held captive by the laws of England, unable to fulfill their desires and their resolve to be free. The Declaration of Independence is probably one of the most recognizable symbols of what freedom is all about. But the one thing that freedom is based upon, which is brought out loud and clear in the Declaration, is the one thing that is missing in our celebrations today. It is the fact that true freedom can only be found in and come through God. Amen. Let me say that again. True freedom can only be found in and can only come through God. Listen to these words again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet, while people can feel free politically and personally, there are a great number who still suffer bondage, and that is being held captive through the bondage of sin. Sin has ensnared and imprisoned the human race. The Bible clearly speaks to this. Even though political and personal freedoms are important, they are not the most important. Rather, it is the reality of God and the freedom He provides. Amen? But listen, the Bible doesn't leave off there. The Word also addresses our need to use this freedom responsibly. The Apostle Peter brings this to the forefront when he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves." Paul refers to this again in his letter to the church in Galatia. In Galatians 5, 13, he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Amen. As believers, therefore, we are called upon to use our freedom to further God's agenda and His will. Remember that great commandment in which we're told to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. To love others as we ourselves want to be loved. Amen. So it is in this love for God and others that we are to let the world know of God's unconditional love through the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the gospel message, the Great Commission. Consider also the Jews that God delivered from their Egyptian bondage. They sang and danced for the joy that was in their heart. But not long after, the Lord gave them those Ten Commandments, in which He described, if you would, how they were to use their newly found freedom responsibly. Amen. In other words, God's people were held accountable to a higher standard because of their freedom. Freedom, therefore, has boundaries. No one is free to break the law. Yet this is something many seem to oppose. They say, I'll be ruled by no one. But in their attempt to throw off all restraint, they are confronted with another form of bondage, sin. True freedom only begins by submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. Our freedom, in fact, all freedom, flows from Him. He is the source of all freedom. And life outside of that personal relationship with Jesus leads to all types of bondages because true freedom and sin cannot coexist. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18 says, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Hallelujah. Amen. Slaves to righteous living. And notice the wording in that verse. It states, we have been set free from sin, not free in sin or free to sin, but free from sin. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter goes on to say that sin is what brings us into bondage, and that people are actually slaves to whatever sin has mastered them. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 19 says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. But then I love what Paul says, that if it is the Lord God who becomes our master, then we are free from sin and slaves to God. And the outcome of such servitude is a life of holiness that leads to eternal life. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. And so, freedom has its boundaries. And these are found in God's Word, which lays out for us God's will and plans that will bring real and true freedom to each one of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And while Paul speaks a lot about our freedom in his letter to the Roman church, it is his letter to the Galatians that may best be described as our declaration of freedom. Amen. A spiritual war was brewing, not unlike the American War for Independence from the oppressive rule of England and its monarchy. This war in the scriptures was waged as false believers, wolves in sheep's clothing, who infiltrated the church, desiring to put the believers back into slavery and into bondage of the law. rather than being free from the law, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones, really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. And so Paul tells us to stand firm in our freedom so we don't get sucked back into being slaves again to sin and death. In chapter 5 and verse 1 of Galatians, he says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. Another translation puts it this way, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, saints, in the time we've got left, I'd like to look at four different sources that the Scriptures tell us will bring us freedom. Four different sources that the Scriptures tell us will bring us freedom. The first source, of course, for freedom is Jesus. Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. As I said earlier, Jesus is the source of freedom. And when we turn from sin to Him, accepting Him as our Savior and Lord, then we will experience spiritual freedom, where the chains and shackles of sin and death no longer bind us. Galatians 5, verse 1, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law or sin. And while it speaks of our slavery to sin, if it wasn't for the law, then we wouldn't even know we had sinned. Romans 3:20 says, for no one can ever be made right but with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Amen. And so the slavery that is being talked about is the slavery to the law, which leads to sin and thus death. As Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Amen. You see, the law in and of itself could never justify anyone. It never could. That is, it could never make a person right with God. It could only lead us to the only one who can, and that is Jesus Christ. To the Jews in Antioch, Pisidia, Paul made this declaration in Acts 13. Verse 38 and 39, he said, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. This was the mission of Jesus' first coming. Jesus confirmed it by quoting the prophecy from Isaiah about Himself and the mission of the coming Messiah. You'll remember this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. When Jesus said that, it is the Son of God who sets people free, He was responding to the religious leaders who were saying that they were children of Abraham and slaves to no one. That is, they were already free. And folks, does that sound familiar? It sounds like so many in America today. They say that they are free, no longer slaves or bound by anyone. But Jesus made it clear that everyone who continues to sin is a slave to sin. And therefore, the only way to freedom from sin is through Him. Amen. And so for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, It is through him that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. And so today, on this July 4th, let Jesus be the reason for our celebration. Amen? Amen. Now again, in John chapter 8, we see the second source of freedom, and that's the truth. The truth. Right before Jesus announced that he was the one who sets us free, he said that when we believe and obey his teachings, that is when we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. In John 8:31, Jesus said to his disciples that if they abide in his word, then they would be his disciples. And then in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This reveals that Jesus is not only truth personified, but also his teachings are truth, and therefore we can trust them. In one of his prayers for us to the Father, Jesus asked the Father to sanctify us, that is, to make us holy through the truth of the Word. And so we need to learn what the Scriptures teach, making a decision to obey what they say. Then this knowledge will free us from the bondage of sinful habits and behaviors. It was through the truth of God's word and in obedience to it that the psalmist placed his hope. In Psalm 119, 43 through 45, he said, "Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." Now, the word truth in the Greek language not only refers to what is true as compared to what is false, but also to what is real as opposed to what is fake. So since Jesus and his word are truth, therefore Jesus and his word will set us free. Amen? The third source of freedom that the Bible declares is the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you that the law keeps the human heart in bondage. But Paul declares there's no bondage when someone comes to the Lord. Listen to what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Amen. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul shares about the new law, the law of the Spirit. And it is the law of the Spirit that brings us freedom over the law of sin and death. In Romans 8, verse 2, it says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." Amen. Amen. This may be why Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Obviously, when we are led by the Spirit, we're no longer under the law. Amen? And then in Galatians 5, 16 through 21, he not only lists 17 sins and the works of the flesh, but he also includes every sin when he adds the words "and the like" to the end of his list. Amen? He nailed it all. Got it all. Consequently, it is through the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit that we are free. Because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will speak only what he hears from above and thus guide us into all truth. Amen. And so we are set free by Jesus, who not only is the truth, but speaks the truth, and then by the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into that same truth. Amen. Now, there's one more source that will set us free. However, nowhere in the Bible does it state literally that it sets us free. But when we experience the power of it, it is truly liberating. The fourth source of freedom, it comes from forgiveness. Forgiveness. You can be liberated from anything that hinders you and binds you through the power of forgiveness. When we repent, Jesus forgives us of all the wrongs we have done and the sins we have committed against Him. But remember, saints, we can also be set free when we determine to forgive the wrongs and the sin that others have committed against us. True freedom comes through forgiveness and through forgiving. True freedom comes through forgiveness and through forgiving. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." But brothers and sisters, when we choose not to forgive, then the act of unforgiveness snares us, making us miserable, unhappy, and trapped in an unending cycle of bitterness and anger. Forgiving others and being forgiven helps us find freedom from the past and a peace that heals. Amen. Studies have shown that people who are willing to forgive, who are unwilling to forgive, withdraw into their own little prison, become captive to the very person or situation that has hurt them so much. And while psychology will talk about various ways to find freedom from our past hurts, there's only one way that we can truly be delivered, and that is through forgiveness. Saints, be unchained from the past. Be like the psalmist who cried out to God to be set free. He said in Psalm 118, verse 5, "In my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free." Amen. You and I may live in a land of the free, but despite all our political and personal freedoms in America, without Jesus, we remain a prisoner to those things that control us. We must depend upon God as our true source of liberty, courage, and spiritual power. Remember, true freedom comes from Jesus Himself, the truth of His Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, and genuine forgiveness. Listen, folks, Jesus wants you to be free today. He wants you to be free today. Let's therefore commit to Him our lives and let this 4th of July be a day filled with true freedom and genuine celebration. Amen. Again, Psalm 33, verse 12, first part, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation. We live in a blessed nation, folks. We live in a blessed nation. I hope everyone here really realizes the truth of that. God I'll just clue you in here. I tell God all the time, I am a blessed man. The time that I have lived, I think is the absolute best time that this world has ever seen. It's unreal what has happened and how good things have been for us. It's got to be this blessed nation and a blessed life for following Him. And you know, when I was back yonder, I never dreamed I'd be placed in America at this time. I had nothing to say about it, did I? It was all God's plan. The parents I had, everything is all God's plan. And I am blessed. I'm so blessed. And I think that rubs off to each one of you. You know, there's things that irritate me, but I come back real quick to I'm a blessed man. Those irritants, that's just, you know, sand dust from the devil, I think. It just gets in your eyes for a minute, but it is so good that we live during this time. I know some of you agree with that 100%. Is life always good, Brother Jerry? No. But overall, it is. I know each one of you have some thoughts of how you've been blessed in this life right now. Struggles, yes. Blessings, yes. And the blessings outweigh the struggles. We pray on Wednesday mornings for the little things a lot of times. That's the air in your lungs and you feed on the floor. And folks, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. To have loved ones around you, that's a blessing. Thank God for America. Thank God for America. There are other people that lived in this world the same time I'm living that have no life like I have. They're not blessed. But thank you, Jesus, for putting me in this place at this time. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for America. And Lord, I know there's been things going on that most of us don't agree with. And